Good morning, everyone. It's an absolute privilege for me to be here on this special day for Jacob John William. And I suspect that God has a special place in his heart for anybody whose name is William somewhere. I'm pretty sure of that. So it's great to be here. And I'm kind of encouraged because a lot of what Ruth and Murray have shared already, that's part of what I was going to be talking about, and a lot of the stuff that was in the songs that we've sung, part of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. I want to draw your attention. We've been going through a series which is all based on these six member commitments that are on the back of the newsletter diary that you received. And the one that we're going to look at today, and I'm going to help us look at today, is the one called care. A couple of things I want to draw to your attention. In the section above that, above the 6 points, it tells you that church membership is about relationship with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so relationships are part of this, and we can see relationships are important. There's lots of relations here of Jacob, John, have come to be here on this special day. So I'm going to talk about relationship and what that means and relationship with God. And under care, care says we will love one another, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice. We will put others' needs before our own. So what I'd like to do is read God's word and see what God's word says about loving and caring. So three verses that I'm going to read together. They should be projected. The first reading is in the Gospel of John, John 13 and verse 34. We'll just John 13, verse 34. I better read the same version that you're looking at. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And that's Jesus speaking to his disciples. And the next verse is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And Paul is writing to the Ephesian Christians, and he's saying, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now, I'll read your version. Therefore, be imitators of God. In fact, I was quite pleased when I found a different way of wording that, because I'm not particularly keen on the idea of imitating something. But so my version, follow God's example, be imitators of God. Love one another, be imitators of God, and walk in the way of love, this is verse 2, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And the third verse is in Galatians chapter 6, and this is a letter to the Galatians from Paul, and Paul's encouraging the Galatian Christians to love all people, not just the family of God. Therefore, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Okay, so let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray to God just now. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that you would teach me, how to love and care for people as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us. I pray that you will strengthen us as a local church community. And I ask that you'll give every one of us ears to hear and hearts to respond to what you're saying. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've got a few slides. I don't preach very often, and I like to have something that tells me there is an end to this. So so that's one of the functions of the slide set, is to give me a wee bit of encouragement that we're getting towards the end of, or I'm getting towards the end of it. That's a terrible way of introducing a slide set, isn't it? So the first slide John's going to bring up, this is a look ahead to what's coming. Okay, so I'm going to talk about loving and caring. What's the difference between loving and caring? I'm going to talk about God's love. That's going to be a significant part of what we're going to look at. And then I'm going to talk about love for one another in the family of God. That's in a church community. I'm going to talk about caring for one another in the church community, in the family of God. And then coming to the end, it's going to be love in discipleship, you know, loving other people apart from the people in the family of God. And then a very short video clip, which is a good example of something that I think is, and you will definitely think is, way above and beyond normal love and care. So that's where we're going. So we can bring up the next slide. And I grappled for a while trying to get my head around what's the difference between loving and caring. And so that's what this slide's trying to help us with. What's the difference between loving and caring? Now I'm going to give a digest. I'm just going to say a few statements that are important key points of this sermon, and then talk about what's the difference between loving and caring. Okay, so every member of every church believes that God loves them and God has proved that he loves them. God's love is unique and powerful, and it's transformative. Here's a very important one. Love is a hollow statement if it doesn't move me to action. Say that one again. Love is a hollow statement if it does not move me, a hollow sentiment if it doesn't move me to action. Caring, so here's the answer. Caring is loving in action. Love in action is caring. God loves all people, not just Christians. That's important. And Christian love should reflect, in some way, should reflect God's love. So that's the digest of all the key points that I'm going to pick out of what we're going to look at. Care's an interesting word. There's loads of stuff in the dictionaries and the Greek dictionaries about love, and we'll come on to that. But caring, the word care, the translated care, doesn't appear anywhere in Greek. It doesn't appear. And the closest you get to it is something that means taking thought for. Being thoughtful for something. And I found a couple of verses. I'm just going to read them to you that just give me a closer understanding of caring for somebody. To care, the verb to care. Philippians 2, verse 20, Paul is writing to the Philippians and he says, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest or concern for your welfare. Now that genuine interest or concern for your welfare, that's taking thought for, caring, to care. And again, later on in Philippians, this verse appears, Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. So it's that idea of being thoughtful and leading to some action. So, difference between loving and caring. I'm going to come on to loving, because love is another minefield I found. So we're going to look at that. So loving and caring, and some key points. Let me just say that, go back to that, love is a hollow sentiment if it doesn't result in good deeds. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Let us not love with words or tongue, but in deeds and truth. When I came to Aberdeen, I worked in the technical college here. I worked with a fisherman. He was a fishing lecturer, and he had a fantastic phrase, and it was this, and I won't tell you who he was talking about, but he's got more patter than a herd of mice. And so, you hear what it says? Let us not love with words or tongue, but with deeds and truth. Okay, we can go to the next slide, John. Okay, so where do I go with this? Keep my eye on the clock too. So, God's love. There are five Greek words that translate to one English word, love. Okay, so there is a word, a Greek word for familial love, the love that we have just because we're part of a family. And all of us kind of, we should know that, you know, what it feels like. Now, I don't know if you love the rest of your family or not, but there is a Greek word that says because you're in a family, you should, that's that family love that you have, parent, child, brother, sister, that is a Greek word for that. There's a word for romantic love. So we need to get that out of the way early on. Okay, so the Greek word is eros, from which comes erotic. And so it's in the area of sexual love. Romantic love, sexual love. The word eros does not appear anywhere in the New Testament. Okay, so when anything in this sermon talks about love, it's not ever talking about love that leads to physical attraction / connection, all that stuff. Okay, so we don't want that. Okay, let me just say something. That definitely didn't sound right. Keep going, yeah, okay. Right. Right, there is a word, a Greek word for hospitality, guest love, making somebody feel that they're important and very welcome. There's a Greek word for that. And then there's a Greek word that is only ever used in reference to God's love. The word is agape, and if you've done any studying in the scriptures, then you'd probably be familiar with that. Agape love. So when we read that first verse, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, as Christ has loved you, agape love. Love one another with agape, with the same love that God has for us. That's what that is getting at. And that's a big ask. Now, I was very encouraged and listened to Dr. Michael Curry, the guy that preached the sermon at Harry and Meghan's wedding. I listened again to just the first clip of that, first part of his sermon, and it was thrilling. Just, he was reading from 1 John, and Ruth read from 1 John already. He said, God is the source of love, all love. God is the source of love. Everyone who loves God, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because, Ruth said it, God is love. Love is the essence of God's character. Now we're going to look at some very familiar verses. John 3 and 16 is going to come up. I don't think we might not even need it. For God so loved the world. So what I'm trying to get at here is, if there's no action, there's a question mark about the love. Love results in action. Love is it's a force. It's an emotion. It's a feeling of compassion, feelings inside, but it's an emotion. It generates a force, and that force leads to an action. If there's no action, there's a question mark about the love. There's a doubt about the love. For God so loved the world, he gave. Okay, so for God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his only son. Why did he do that? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why he did it. And so, I'll just share the features of God's love that are in this verse. It's an unconditional love. There's nothing in mankind or you or I that made God do what he did. God so loved us, not because of anything in us, but because he is love. He didn't see anything in you, he didn't see anything in me. It's unconditional. It's non-discriminate is probably a better word. It's indiscriminate, it's impartial, it's inclusive. God has no favorites. Right? So if you're like me, Scottish, then don't think that there's a special place for Scots in God's heart. If you're a William, I bet there's not a special place in his heart for William. God is impartial. He is indiscriminate. His love is impartial. And it's extravagantly generous. Extravagantly generous. He gave his only son. And this is the son that he loved. This is my beloved son. He gave, when it's, we understand when he gave his son, he allowed his son to be crucified. And it's unending. It's never ending. And there's another, so we have eternal life, but there's a verse in the Old Testament, I have loved you, Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. We were singing about his unfailing love. There was another word. So you could add to this list. John 3:16, that's the flavor of God's love. What a love. And we're to love one another like that. So Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. It's a sacrificial love. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do I know God loves us? He's shown us. Where do I see it? He's demonstrated it in the giving of his son. Christ died for us. It's a sacrificial love. And we're also, through this death on the cross, those who believe, as John 3:16 says, those who believe are brought into the family of God. We've been singing about that. We've been brought into the family of God. There's a spirit of adoption. We're adopted by God. It's weird. It's amazing that God can look at you and he can look at me, and based on nothing of me, but all based on Christ and Christ's death on the cross, and me believing in that and believing in God's love, I'm brought into the family of God. So everybody here who believes that God loves them, you're a brother or you're a sister of me, and I'm your brother. John 3:1, adoption. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we, you and I, if we know God's love, should be called the children of God. Now, Dr. Michael Curry, he, he speaks in these terms about love. And I wish I could imitate the way he says it, but I won't. When you're loved, you know you're loved. When you're loved, you know you're loved. When someone cares for you and you know somebody cares for you, when you love and you show it, it actually feels right. It actually feels, it just feels right. In 1976, a long time ago, that's when it felt right to me. I first believed that God loved me. Back in 1976, I was 22 years old, and it just felt right. I didn't know anything about all of these sermons that I've sat through since then. Didn't know any of that, but it just felt right. And the Spirit of God came into my life. Now, one of the things that I love is words. And what I'm going to do is, because anybody trying to describe God's love is struggling. You've got a difficulty trying to describe God's love. And I'm a great one for, I don't know why, they're not ancient hymns, but they're very old hymns. And I'm going to read you some words from a couple of verses of a very old hymn. Some of you will know it, but many of you will not have heard of it. But what intrigues me is the lengths that the hymn writer has gone to try to accurately describe God's love. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Now wait till you hear this. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Isn't that amazing, God's love? So that was just a prompt for us on, we can go back to the slides. God's love, it's beyond our imagining, it's indescribable, but we're called, if we are believers, we are called to love one another as Christ loved us. So we can go on to, so we just check we've got all those points that we covered, and then go on to the next slide. Christian love for one another in the family of God. Now we're going to read another passage, a fantastic passage, and I just lost my place a wee bit. Yeah. Okay. We're going to read. I'm going to say one or two things about relationships. So when the Spirit of God comes into my heart, I have a relationship with God. Now, a relationship exists if you spend time with somebody. If you don't spend time with someone, you can say you're in a relationship. I've got a brother in New Zealand. We speak once every 4 months, maybe, and send a text now and again. Am I in a relationship with my brother in New Zealand? Well, I've got a family tie to him, not in a relationship. So when the Spirit of God comes into my heart, I have a relationship with God. Listen why. He's always near. They used to say he's only a prayer away, and that's true. He's always near. He cares about me. He cares about me. And he's faithful. He'll never let me down. He's reliable. So, this is how we know we live in him. He has given us his Spirit. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they live in God. So, we've got relationships. I was intrigued in my preparation. I saw LinkedIn. I think many of us will be part of LinkedIn. And there was an item there. The heading caught my attention. When you don't love your co-worker. When you don't love your co-worker. So, and it made me think of all the other areas where we've got significant relationships. All of us who have worked and are working, go to a place of work, you've got a huge relationship, a significant relationship with your co-workers. And there's other things. You've got an interest in sport. Some of us have an interest in sport. I'm under orders not to say anything about football, so I won't say anything about football. You might have a skill set, nationality, background, whatever. Okay, but so now the Apostle Paul was writing to all the churches. This is the New Testament churches. They've just formed. They've come from all different backgrounds, all different places, all different philosophies, and they've come together, and they're now all in the family of God. And it's pretty chaotic. Now, it would have been tempting for me to have a look at what it was like and spend a lot of time looking at what it was like in those churches, but I don't think that would be a good use of our time. So we're going to read a part of a letter that Paul sent to the Corinthian church, but it's a letter all about love. Okay, so we're going to look at that, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the love chapter in the Bible. Love is, what is love in the Bible? And when we're talking about this love, we're talking about another Greek word. It's not agape love. What we're going to look at here and get told is love. This is love in the family of God as human, people, interpersonal, people relationships. This is the love. And the Bible translates this particular love. It's the word filio, but they translate it brotherly love. But it's actually a gender-neutral word in the Greek. It should be sibling love. But what it means is a deep friendship. It's like a kinship, a kindred spirit. And you should have an affection. You should actually like the people instead of, oh, I'm just part of this because I'm a member here, but we should be liking each other. And that's what this word, the sense of this word that we're going to read about in 1 Corinthians 13. So, and I'm going to just try to take us through this fairly quickly. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then love is. Okay, so what I think is quite useful for me is to, as I read this list of love is, just think of how do I measure up to this? If I had to score myself, 1, not good, 5, top of the pile, what score would I give myself? So let's try and do that as we go through this. Love is patient. Pause while you score. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Tongues, they will be stilled. Knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Now we just go to the last verse of the chapter. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, so I won't ask you how you scored yourself, but and I'm not showing you how I scored myself either. But that's the love that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that we should have for one another. Okay, we can go on to the next slide. Okay, Christian care in the family of God. So love in the family of God, that's all that abstract theoretical stuff, but lots of practical stuff. And caring, this is the evidence that you love. This is love in action, caring. And there's a list of some stuff. I mean, by all accounts, if you asked anybody that knows much about Hillview, are they a caring church? I would be very surprised if they said, absolutely not. Because there's lots of things going on in Hillview and in Kintore that suggests that we do love one another, or whoever's doing this loves one another, and that they care. So you can see a list up there, meals when needed, visitation, prayer, phone call, text, thoughtfulness, you're thoughtful, tokens of affection, you know, I like somebody, flowers and cards. Yeah. Transport, DIY, don't mention hedges, but DIY, clothing donations, freely bin, old folks engagements, etc., etc., etc. So what am I going to say about that? I'm going to say that there's lots of good things going on in Hillview and in Kintore. One of the things that's been impressing me in preparation for this talk is that term, one another. So I'm asking myself, what one another means everybody. It doesn't mean someone or other. It means each, every one of us. This is what we should be like. And every one of us should be looking for opportunities to spread and show God's love and Christ's love in caring actions. So just before we go on to, if you show, bring the next slide up, Matthew, to see what it is. Yeah. Okay, so all I'm going to say here about this slide is, this is a kind of star chart where what I'm going to impress on all of us is that these member commitments are interrelated. You know, you can't just pick them out, the ones that you like and the ones that you're good at and excel in that, and pay no attention to the other ones that you're not so good at and I'm not so good at. These are all interrelated. If we don't gather, how can we learn what to pray? And if we don't pray, are we really caring and thoughtful about other people? So That's what this is about. Of course, if you wanted to do that exercise of scoring yourself against each of the commitments, we'll never do that. Possibly a church forum sky thinking kind of exercise, brainstorming exercise. But the point I'm making, I think the point is clear that there's an interconnection between all of these commitments. And when we get them all, when our hearts are in the right place, then what we're expected to do will fall into place without any hassle. And who knows what would then come out of the glory and the honour that we bring God from the way that we behave here as a church, with each other as a church. Now, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so this is, I'm just going to read one verse. As we have, we read this at the start. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Okay, so this now takes us outside of the church. So this love and discipleship. You know, we said at the start of the sermon, we said, "This is my new commandment, if that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know you're my disciples." So the purpose of that is men will see something of me in you. That's what God's saying. You will reflect my glory, my love for the world. That's what will happen. And then this disciples of, the word disciples here is to do with, the word itself comes from a kind of mentor-student kind of setting where somebody is being taught by a mentor. And a disciple in the days, this is rabbinical teaching, and a disciple would behave in exactly the same way as the mentor. And if the mentor, whatever the mentor told them to do, they would copy them. If anybody saw the disciple in the street, they would recognize not him, but they would recognize the mentor. That's the concept. Okay, so here's a question that I was asking myself. How many people do we know who have started on a journey to faith because a Christian cared for them and showed that they cared for them? Okay, so this is very important. It would be an absolute nightmare if we were loving and caring in the church here, and then we go home or we go to a workplace and we go wherever, and is it Jekyll or Hyde? Which one's the goodie? Which one's the... It's the other one anyway. And you see that becomes a hypocrisy if we're loving here but we're not loving there. And also, if we're going to make disciples, this is a great outreach tool, caring for people who know nothing about God. It's outward looking. And that's a healthy thing for a church and for us as Christians. The Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. It's outward looking. There's one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Deuteronomy chapter 10, somewhere in there. You'll see, love strangers. That's what it says, love strangers, because you were once a stranger. I'll save my other favorite old hymn for, but the opening line is, I once was a stranger. I once was a stranger, and somebody cared enough to say to me, Billy, are you saved? That was it. Are you saved? And just because they did that, the Spirit of God took me and I became saved. So I once was a stranger. Right, so just in closing, we're going to look at a video clip, very short, 3-minute video clip. It's of a guy called Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow. So he's an American guy, an athlete, NFL, ex-NFL and baseball player and football player, who a Baptist, a Christian guy, and he set up a foundation. Now, this is what I call in my slide set, above and beyond caring. It's not to warm our hearts, but it's to show you what God can do when we love, and the love motivates us to care for other people. So you can show that now, Matthew.
The first trip I went on overseas with my dad was to the Philippines, and on this missions trip, what really changed my life was when we went to a remote jungle, and I meet Sherwin, and he has his feet on backwards. He was born that way, and I knew after meeting him what I want to do with my life is to fight for people that can't fight for themselves. And then about a month ago, I'm in our offices, I'm talking to our team, and Brandy runs into the other room and she says, "You won't believe this," and she just is bawling, and she shows me a picture. We had a boy named Aldrin who was 11 years old, barely walk into the hospital with a leg deformity, and I said, "Brandy, that looks just like Sherwin." And then hearing Aldrin's story about what he had been through, about how he had been bullied, how he had been neglected, how it would be an easy surgery if he was younger, but he's already 11 years old. So our surgeons come together, they put together a plan, and they have a surgery. And 4 hours later, Aldrin's legs are straight. So our doctors say he's going to have the ability to walk tall for the first time in his life.
Kumbaan, ma'am, itong operahan siya, pero okay lang kaya ang mga staff nila, ma'am, kanang gahatagod ano para ma-encourage kami. Tapos kwapo kayo sila mag-atiman, ma'am, sa amua. Ma'am, pero na-encourage ko sa ilaha, ma'am, kay kanang sila kung naghatag sa kuha, kanang strength, nga ano, kanang ang Ginoo daw, kabalo og mag idea siya ang nagaano sa mga tao kung unsa ang maayo para sa iya daw niya na siya ang magbuot para sa inyong doktor ginaguide daw sang Ginoo nga kung unsa ang maayo nga para sa iya.
That's a boy that not only will be able to really walk for the first time in his life, but he also rededicated his life to Christ and he knows the purpose for his life. And his mom and him walked away from the hospital being changed. And so the hospital knew how much that Sherwin meant to me and why we started in the first place. So they sat Aldrin down and they told him why I was inspired to start this and where the inspiration came from. And he wanted to say something.
Thank you, Sherwin. One life truly can change another.
As I look at him and his name's Aldrin, but I'm reminded of Sherwin and why we're doing this and why it matters so much.
I'm finished. Let's just bow our heads and pray together. Merciful God, we are amazed at the power of your love that can change, transform us from people who are living in darkness and brought into your world of light and love and care. We thank you for evidences of that. We see all around us. This video clip is an extreme example, but what a thrill to see people motivated by love to actually do something and take action. And so I pray that you'll speak to us. I pray that we might remember what Chris used to say, it's all about love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.